Well, welcome to another message of Relationship University. So glad you guys could join us today. My name is Greg Moore, and I am the ministry director for the third-year ministry school. I'm an instructor here at Charis Bible College and also the ministry ambassador for ARMI, which is the Association of Related Ministries International. It's Andrew's Ministers Fellowship. And so I've got a great message today about the truth about divorce and remarriage. So many people have gone through the blight of divorce, and they're confused about the subject of remarriage and, you know, in relationships. This is something that people need to know the truth about. So we're going to get right into the word, but let me tell you a funny first. So a baker was asked to print 1 John 4:18 on a wedding cake, but he forgot and instead printed John 4:18. 1 John 4:18 reads, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." John 4:18, on the other hand, reads, "For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband." That would be the wrong thing to print, put on your wedding cake. Oh, that's hilarious. So, you know, I want to share with you what the Bible has to say about, well, first of all, adultery, but then divorce and remarriage, because so many people confuse what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, if you divorce your wife and marry another, you're committing adultery. And we're going to unpack all of that and try to free people, okay, from what has bound them for so long. Well, first of all, adultery is sin. It's one of the big 10. Exodus 20:14 says, "You shall not commit adultery." So adultery, first, it's sin against God, first of all. It's failure to trust Him to meet your needs in this area of your life. It's also a great sin on the horizontal plane in terms of relationships with others, because it hurts people. Obviously, your spouse, your children, family, and relationships in the body of Christ. It's a covenant-breaking sin. My family, I experienced the painful results of this sin. My dad and mom were divorced when I was 8 years old. I was the oldest of 5 children, and had a significant impact on all of us. And my dad had a relationship with other women and left my mom, and they divorced. So adultery gives place to the enemy big time. Like, as Andrew Womack says, to eat your lunch and pop the bag. Proverbs 6, verse 23. Verse 24, I'm sorry. Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, reproofs of instruction of the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. An adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet when he's found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased through many gifts. So, you know, adultery opens you up to the enemy to steal substance from you. Verse 31, it's the resulting cause of lack of understanding. Verse 32, it causes destructive impact on your soul. It also results in wounds, dishonor, and shame. Verse 33, adultery that becomes a lifestyle or practice in someone's life will limit their inheritance in the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5, this is a powerful verse, and people many times, or the passage, many times people have misread this as well. But Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh, and verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and the first one he mentions is adultery. You know, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Now, you know, I want to make note of this, and we're going to address this in a little bit later in the message. There's a difference between adultery and fornication. Otherwise, it wouldn't be listed separately in the same list. Adultery can only be committed while someone's married. Fornication is what is sex outside of marriage before you're married. Adultery is having an affair with someone while you're married or with someone who's married. So just remember that. And then it gives you all kinds of things: idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, all of those things, envy, verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, and the like, which there's a lot more, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, I'm in verse 21 now of Galatians 5, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't say there that you wouldn't be saved. He's talking about receiving your inheritance in the kingdom. You know, there's some people that are going to be saved, but they're going to go into eternity without reward. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about that, of, you know, how you'll be saved, but yet you'll lose your reward. And so you think about the example of adultery between David and Bathsheba. I mean, he had more than one wife, and he committed adultery with another man's wife, Uriah, and then their adulterous relationship resulted in the murder of Bathsheba's husband, the death of their son, and in rebellion and dysfunction in David's family. And they just created all kinds of havoc. Now, there is forgiveness and redemption from this sin, as witnessed by the fact that King Solomon was born from the union and marriage between David and Bathsheba following their repentance. But in Malachi chapter 2, Malachi 2 and verse 16, for the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. So God hates divorce and the destruction that it brings, but he doesn't hate divorced people. So if you've experienced divorce, God can still use you, forgive you, redeem you, but there's still hope for you even after the pain of divorce. So in a lot of Christian circles, though, if you've ever gone through a divorce, you know, you can't ever preach, you can't be ordained, you can't function as an elder. There's so many things there that, and certainly you immediately following a divorce, you shouldn't. You should take time to heal and be restored and so on. But you know, so many people have treated so many denominations and moves of God. They treat someone who's gone through a divorce like they've gone through the plague. And man, I know a lot of people who have gone through divorce who didn't intend to have a divorce, who didn't want the divorce, and yet their mate didn't want to live with them, and they went ahead and divorced anyway, and then it leaves this person. And I'm not saying either party of a divorce is faultless. My wife and I have counseled hundreds of people, probably thousands of people. And you never know the full story until you listen to both parties. And there's always someone, I mean, there's always fault on both parts. And so, I'm not absolving anyone of responsibility, even if your spouse left. Obviously, you contributed to that problem in some form or fashion. But, you know, after a divorce, it doesn't mean God intends to put you on the spiritual junk heap where you can't be used by the Lord anymore. That's, you know, it's not the unpardonable sin, my brother and sister. And so I want to read to you Jesus' instruction on divorce and remarriage. And that is Mark chapter 10, and we'll read several verses. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of Jordan, and multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" testing him. And he answered and said, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, so the two shall become one, so then they are no longer two but one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man separate." And that word "separate" there means allow no space between. In the house, his disciples asked him again about the same matter. So he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another," notice that connection word "and," "whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And so people have read those two verses and say, well, if you go through a divorce and then later you remarry, you're committing adultery. Well, you know, I said, "God, you've got to show me what you mean by what Jesus meant here," because in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're not going to turn over there right now, but we'll unpack that a little later. But in 1 Corinthians 7, he said, you know, if you're loosed from a wife, you're not in bondage to remain unmarried. So how did what Jesus say sync up with what Paul said? Well, a number of years ago, there were two different examples of spiritual leaders who used this passage to put divorced people in bondage that came in contact with me and came to counsel with me. And first of all, there was a couple, a friend of mine that we were in, and I was born again, filled with the Spirit, but I wasn't in ministry at the time. I was in business, and this was a business friend of mine that came to me for counsel. He knew I was born again. He knew I was a Christian, and he was a Christian. He was going to a particular denomination. It was very legalistic. And he had been married for 2 years, and they was having some challenges in their marriage, and he went for counsel to his pastor, and he was told that they were both living in adultery because the husband had been married before. The woman, the wife had not, but the husband had. And this was a husband talking to me. The man came to me, and the husband's divorce, though, happened 8 years before his second marriage. He didn't even know the woman that he married 8 years later when he divorced his first wife. And actually, his wife, first wife, divorced him. And, you know, he said, look, there were lots of fault on my part in my first marriage. I wasn't born again. I wasn't living for God. I didn't treat my spouse right. You know, there was no adultery there, but his wife chose to leave him. And so the counselor told him that God only recognized his first marriage. It was bizarre. Then there was a wife in my church whose husband had had several affairs and would not heed counsel. And we tried to bring them in, and we tried to counsel him, and he left his wife, and she did everything she could to stay together. And he left his wife, and he married another woman. And the wife did everything she could. She forgave her husband. She tried to work it out. She was willing to go for counsel. And she did everything she could to keep the marriage together, walk in true forgiveness toward him, and was willing to go to counsel for reconciliation before he left and remarried. But now, he not only had left her, divorced her, he had remarried, and then 4 years later, this wife who had been abandoned and rejected by her husband wanted to remarry. And she was, you know, in her 30s. And so there was a couple who came to our church, and they had a passion for marriage ministry, and I do as well. But they started teaching from their curriculum that, based on this passage in Mark chapter 10, that this woman would be committing adultery if she remarried 4 years after her husband divorced her. Now, in both of these instances, you know, it was obviously not the case. It's not what Jesus was addressing. Here, the first one, this husband, his wife had divorced him. Certainly he wasn't, you know, an angel in that situation. So he contributed to that. But his wife left him, and now 8 years later, actually 10 years later, or 8 years later, he got remarried. And then a couple of years after that marriage, they were going for counsel. And the counselor told her, the pastor told them, God didn't only recognize, the reason you're having a problem is you're in adultery, and God only recognized the first marriage. You know, that is so much garbage, guys. And then the second instance where this wife, she did everything she could. And again, she wasn't perfect, but she did everything she could to keep the marriage together. And her husband had several affairs. One of them was with a teenager. And he wouldn't heed counsel. He left his wife, married someone else, and then now someone in my church is teaching that if she remarries 4 years later, based on what Jesus said here, she's committing adultery. Well, guys, how many of you know that's nonsense? And I stopped that couple from teaching, by the way, and they left the church, which, praise God. But look, I'm not, when I'm talking to you here, I'm not in favor of divorce. God hates divorce, but he loves divorced people. And someone who's been divorced doesn't have to sit on a spiritual junk heap for the rest of their lives and not be used by God. And, you know, look, I'm totally an advocate for staying together in marriage. I've been married now over 50 years, and I'm not planning on trading my wife in on a new model. It took me too long to train her as it is. Not really. She trained me. But I am for healthy marriage, not divorce. But I personally experienced the pain of covenant breaking and having no father figure to guide my life as a young man. And I asked the Lord to give me a family with his help, and I'd be faithful to them. And by his grace, I'm still married to my first wife, and we're best friends, praise God. But even with my understanding of God's position toward marriage and divorce, my experience and my commitment to marriage, I could not reconcile these two counselors' positions as accurately representing Jesus' attitude toward those people. And so I said, Father, you're going to have to show me what you meant here in Mark chapter 10. And so I reread and meditated on this passage in Mark chapter 10 to receive revelation on the truth that Jesus was communicating here regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And that's why I call this the truth about divorce and remarriage. And I encourage you, you know, to get a copy of our Relationship University. You know, you can order that online. You can go to our phone lines, 719-635-1111, where we cover these things in depth. But I wanted, Jesus, would you show me what you meant here when these Pharisees came to you requesting that, is it okay if we divorce our wives, just write them a divorce certificate, and then marry someone else? And I knew just, you know, intuitively that what Jesus was teaching here was certainly not contradictory to what Paul taught on this subject in 1 Corinthians 7, which we're going to open up in just a few minutes. We'll look at that passage. But the context of Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, it was Pharisees who were asking Jesus' approval to use a provision in the law to divorce their wives and trade them in for a new model. That's exactly what Jesus is addressing here. It's exactly what he's talking to them about, because they secretly came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. And they look, they were secretly, some of them had secretly had plans and thoughts to remarry someone else while still being married. And Jesus pointed out the problem in their marriages was tolerating hardness of heart. In verse 5 of Mark 10, and Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. And so he put the responsibility back on them for the condition of their marriage relationship. He said, you're not going to be able to blame your wives about this, guys. It's hardness of heart. It's your hardness of heart that's caused you to come ask me, can I use a principle in the law to divorce my wife and trade her in on a new model? And he put the responsibility back on them, because verse 9, he says, therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And that word separate, you can look it up in the Strong's Concordance, and that Greek word, it means allow no space between. Allow no space between you and your covenant partner in marriage. And so when we allow emotional space between our relationship, it sets up hardness of heart in our hearts. And a lot of times that emotional space is just, you know, it's our cell phones. It's how we're electronically tethered to things and where we're not connecting with our mates, you know, emotionally. And so then Jesus put a nail in the coffin to these Pharisees' diabolical plans. He said, if you divorce your wife and marry another, he's connecting the two actions now. That's why the word "and" is so important. He said, look, boys, if you use the law and you to get a, you know, legal divorce certificate, and then you go and in turn you marry somebody else, the divorce certificate doesn't absolve you of the adultery that's in your heart. Because the reason you want to divorce your wife is you've allowed hardness of heart toward her, and then you've got plans to remarry someone else. He said, look, that's adultery. And the divorce certificate doesn't absolve you from the sin of adultery that's in your heart. He's clearly and simply addressing, you know, the sin that was in their heart, the hardness of heart. He's telling them their motive. Look, he was saying divorce for the purpose of remarriage is sin. It's adultery. And receiving a legal divorce certificate does not put away the sin of lust and adultery in your heart. That's what Jesus was dealing with. He wasn't saying here, if you ever get divorced and then later remarry, that you're committing adultery. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, look, if you use the law for any reason, okay, the law today, you can say irreconcilable differences, okay, and you can say, you know, that we just can't get along. You can really divorce for any reason today. That wasn't the case, you know, years ago. But if you're divorcing your mate for the purpose you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend on the side, that divorce certificate doesn't absolve you from the sin of lust and adultery that's in your heart towards someone else. And so Jesus is simply saying, whoever divorces his wife and marries another is committing adultery against her. He's not saying if you go through a divorce and then later remarry, that's adultery. By the way, that's not possible, because you can only commit adultery while you're married or if it's with someone else who is married. It would be fornication if you were not married. And so Jesus is just saying to these guys, if you've got plans to trade your wife in on a new model, boys, your divorce certificate will not remedy the hardness of your heart towards your mate, nor will it absolve you from the lust and adultery you've tolerated in your heart. Jesus is not saying here that everyone who divorces and then later remarries someone else is committing adultery. That's not what he's saying, my brother and sister. Neither is he saying that he doesn't recognize second marriages as that one pastor told that couple that, well, the reason you're having problems is because God doesn't recognize, he only recognizes the first marriage. Well, if that was true, then Poor Jesus, he didn't know that, because in John 4, 17 through 18, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he asked, he said, "Where's your, go get your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." Well, the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband." Whoa. Jesus said here, he recognized five marriages in this woman's life. Now, he's not endorsing that someone get married five times, obviously, but this debunks the counsel that that one pastor gave that couple by saying, God only recognizes your first marriage. Anything after that is adultery. Well, that's not what Jesus said. The same Jesus quoted this in Mark chapter 10, that if you divorce your wife and marry another, you're committing adultery. Here, Jesus told the woman at the well, you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. So he even made a distinction between legal marriage and then somebody just living together. And he didn't tell her if he would have agreed with that pastor, Jesus would have said, well, you've had one husband and all the rest of the guys you've been living with. That's not what he said. Notice he did not say you've been married once and have been living in adultery ever since with five other men. He may not have endorsed those five marriages in her life, but he did recognize them. And then he draws a clear distinction here between the status of being married and the status of living together. The terms living together and being married are in no way synonymous in God's mind. And adultery, by definition, it means having relations with another person outside of your marriage relationship, or with another person outside of their marriage relationship. Therefore, in order to commit adultery, it must begin while you're still married, even if it's just in your heart, not after you're divorced. That's called fornication, not adultery. And so when Jesus was, again, in Mark chapter 10, when Jesus was addressing these Pharisees who came to him with an obvious motive, it wasn't very secretive, Moses said we could divorce our wives and get a divorce certificate and then remarry. Is that okay with you, Jesus? Do you agree with Moses, Jesus? And he said, well, first of all, guys, the reason why you're even considering this is because you've allowed emotional space between. You've not stewarded your own hearts with your present mate. And how you leave a place is exactly how you'll enter the next, and you'll have the same problem over again. And he's saying, look, he knew what their motive was. You guys are trying to get me to agree with Moses and give you permission to and want me to agree with the adultery that's in your heart, because you're asking me that question because you want to divorce your wife and trade her in on a new model. And that, if you do that, if you divorce for the purpose of remarriage, that divorce certificate doesn't absolve you from the sin of adultery. So yes, if you've ever gone through a divorce and you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend on the side, and the reason you divorced because you want to marry that girlfriend or boyfriend, yeah, you committed adultery. But does that mean that you should divorce, now you remarried this other person, should you divorce them? No. Just ask God for forgiveness for the adultery that was in your heart. But Jesus is not saying here, if you've ever been divorced, if you later get remarried, that you're committing adultery. And so let's compare this now with 1 Corinthians chapter 7, with what Paul had to talk about on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So look at verse 10 and 11. It says, "Now to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife." And so Paul and Jesus are saying the same thing here. They're forbidding divorce for convenience. And every case stands on its own merit. For example, I mean, in other words, there are reasons why people would leave a marriage relationship. And Paul is allowing for that, but he's saying, look, don't leave or don't divorce for the purpose of remarriage. Same thing that Jesus said. But if there's violence, if there's child abuse, if there's abandonment, if there's adultery, etc., you know, then leave. Certainly you have permission to leave that relationship, but don't do it for the purpose of remarrying. Do it for the purpose of reconciliation and praying for your spouse that God will turn their hearts. When a spouse wants a divorce and no abuse is involved, many times it's because there's someone else in the picture that they've connected with emotionally. And so Paul and Jesus are both saying the same thing. If you do have to divorce, or if you do have to leave your spouse for some legitimate reason, I'm not going to be an advocate for someone staying in the marriage when there's physical abuse or all kinds of problems with, where there's violence whether you're hitting one another or hitting your children or things like that. But then he goes on to say, verse 12, "But to the rest I say, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who doesn't believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they're holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases." Not under bondage to what? Not under bondage to stay single, to stay unmarried. If a brother, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage to remain unmarried in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? And so he's really making it real clear here. Look, if your husband or wife is not pleased to dwell with you, and then they leave you and divorce you, you're not under bondage to remain unmarried. You're not under bondage to remain single forever. If the unbelieving mate remarries, especially if they remarry after divorcing, you forget about it. Forget about trying to pray for reconciliation. If you've gone through a divorce, wanted or unwanted, your ex-mate gets married to someone else, now your prayers for reconciliation with you would be involved breaking up another covenant of marriage, even though you don't agree with it. And then he goes on to say, verse 17, "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And I ordain in all the churches Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become circumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. But he wasn't talking about circumcision in the context here. He was talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Don't be concerned with it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. In the context, even though he's talking later about being slaves or circumcised, the context that he brings this up is when he's talking about marriage. And when he says, let each one remain with God in the state he was called, he was talking about abiding in your present marital state. And then verse 25, now concerning virgins, I have no command, though that's person unmarried, obviously, from the Lord, yet I give judgment as to whom the Lord is in his mercy is made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that it is good because of the present distress that is good for a man to remain as he is. And so your new birth or your new revelation from the Word and newfound walk in Christ doesn't change your marital status. This is true even if your mate is not saved, or if you're not you're not sure that you guys got married in the will of God. It's absolutely the will of God. You can look here in verses 24 through 26 that concerning your present marital state, you abide where you are right now. Were you when you got born again? Were you married? Stay married. Were you divorced? Then stay, or single, just stay unmarried right now. Stay put where you are. Don't jump out of a marriage covenant for some supposed spiritual reason or some leading of the Lord. Don't go back and attempt to unscramble scrambled eggs. Don't even consider divorcing your present mate to attempt to reconcile with a past mate. Okay, if you've gone through that. Now look at verse 27 and 28. Are you bound to a wife? That means, are you married? Don't seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife, either by death of your spouse or by divorce? Are you loosed from a wife? Don't seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. If you've been loosed from a wife or you've gone through a divorce, if you remarry, you have not sinned. And he's speaking to people that have gone through a divorce here. And if a virgin marries, and he's making a distinction there of those who haven't ever been married, if she marries, she hasn't sinned. Verse 28 makes a clear distinction between virgins, those who've never been married, and those who've previously been married. To each group, he says, if you do marry, you have not sinned. Adultery is sin. So to remarry, he says here, to those that have been loosed from a wife, you know, you haven't sinned. You're not committing adultery unless you divorced your spouse to marry somebody else. And if you did that and you got remarried, then you need to receive forgiveness from that adultery, but don't divorce your present mate. Marriage for the virgin is not sin, and neither is remarriage for the divorced or widowed person sin. The question to ask is, when did you begin to consider remarriage to this person? Before your divorce from your previous mate, or after? If before, You need to identify that as sin. Allow God to deal with your heart and the person you broke covenant with, considering remarriage. But how you leave a place is exactly how you'll enter the next. But the bottom line is, my brother and sister, even if you did that, okay, and you divorced someone for the purpose of remarriage, now you divorced, you married someone else, okay, receive forgiveness for that adulterous act, okay, and walk in peace in the relationship you're in. And then verse 39 says, a wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she's at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. So I refuse to join two people together unless they're willing to make Jesus the Lord of their lives and Lord of their marriage. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Once the marriage is consummated, you need to abide where you are. I want to pray for you, okay? Especially for every person that's gone through the pain and heartache of divorce, and for your family members. Father, I pray for healing for every person watching who's gone through the blight of divorce, and Father, forgiveness. Lord, let them receive forgiveness for their part of contributing to that. But Father, also freedom and peace in their present relationship where they're content to abide there. And Father, help them to steward their hearts in their marriage where they allow no space between in their present situation. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for delivering people from the lies that somehow if they remarry, that's adultery. Free them, Father, from this. Help people to go to the Word and meditate on these things and walk in your freedom in Jesus' name. Well, thanks for being a part of Relationship University. I encourage you to get the entire package of Relationship University. Invest in yourself and healthy relationships. And again, you can you can go online to order it, or you can call our prayer line, 719-635-1111. Thanks for being a part of this broadcast and this time together of Relationship University. God bless you.